Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024, performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset. I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. It's Ebro in the Morning with Laura Stiles and Rosenberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Ebro, Laura Rosenberg, together again with a special guest, Asher Roth, whom we haven't talked to in years. Asher Roth, where you been, fam?
It's been quite some time. I've been, you know, we were talking about it. I've been growing this mustache, getting my part together, getting ready to take on a Marvel role.
You definitely look like a Marvel supervillain right now.
Oh, dude, which, I think I'd rather be a villain than a hero, for sure.
Well, this is a path that has not been done by any hip hop artist. The super villain, like, who's played a super villain? We've had Tony Stark's. I mean, we've had, you know, obviously tons of Black Panther references.
Mm-hmm.
We've had
this would be new.
We've had a Juggernaut.
It seems to be the case, though, where a lot of people are, like, leaving music to go into film. I think I recently, was it Travis Scott has just recently had something, too? That he's in movies now? Or he's in a show or a movie or something like that?
I don't know if people are leaving music. Like, Joey Badass, I'm sure, is still working on his music, but he's kicking ass. I mean, I think he has an Oscar.
He's definitely going hard for the acting, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a thing.
He's doing his damn thing in that 50 Cent Raising Canaan.
Yep.
There you go.
So you're doing acting, or are you just talking shit?
Yeah, I'm just talking shit. I'm in Philly. There's no film industry in Philadelphia. But if there were, I would be a supervillain.
So where have you been, sir? I used to check on you from time to time and ask you about your musical musings and what you were mm-hmm. cooking up. Sure. And then you went MIA on us. Where'd you go?
Well, I mean, I guess it's kind of like, did you guys watch the Emmys the other night?
Yeah.
We talked about them.
Yeah, so I think, on the woman, Michaela Cole, I think her name is I May Destroy You. She gave a really kind of cool speech that resonated with me when she said, you know, visibility for visibility's sake and that equating to success for whatever reason, and don't be afraid to disappear. And that really resonated with me because that's kind of what I did when I was living in Los Angeles and things just didn't feel right. And, you know, obviously getting on at an early formidable age and moving around so much at that age and having left my home in order to do that, I never really felt like I had a home. So, you know, about 4 or 5 years ago, I left Los Angeles and moved back to Philadelphia. And, you know, music's always been kind of something that I've done and something that I've loved to do in my way to communicate with people, et cetera. But also just community work in general. So when I got back here, I actually, music took not so much a back seat, but the stuff that actually really started to appeal to me was like some of the issues that the city of Philadelphia as a community was dealing with. So like, you know, we started Trash Club and helping pick up trash and setting up Sunflower Philly at sunflowerphilly.org. You can see what we're doing, but it's a community and art space that allows kids to come perform for the first time and just like working on that. And then as I built that foundation of just like having a home, that's when I was able to get back into music and we put together Flowers on the Weekend last year and put Greenhouse Effect Volume 3 together this year with fans. And, you know, all that stuff is a little bit under the radar, but it's what I consider to be kind of real work.
Yeah, no, that sounds way more important than just rapping for rap's sake or
staying visible for visibility's sake.
Posting pictures next to a private jet just to say, you know, you took one.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's fun. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure. I'm not shitting on it. I would love to post a picture next to a private jet. You just see it a lot.
You know
what I'm saying? But what you're doing is still more important than that.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's also, it's strange, too, because, like, it's not, like, so much of a, like, this is what I'm doing and this is the right way. It's not so much that. It's just kind of like what the time called for, like where I was in my life and mm-hmm. what my life kind of called for at that time. And in a way, it's also really thankless. And I understand why people kind of like peace out of the public sector and get into the private world, because like it's a mess. You know, when you start dealing with the city, it's a mess. You start even like just dabbling in just like local community politics. It's a mess.
Oh, yeah.
And so you're just kind of like, yo, how can you get anything done? And so I'm in a weird space in my life because, you know, growing up, you know, essentially we're growing up. And I think a lot of the audience, you know, coming into the game at 21, 22, a lot of our audience, the ones who watch us, and they've grown up with us. And, you know, something when I really stepped into the world was kind of this relatability and fun and like, oh, you know, I've met this dude before. Maybe I've never met him before, but I've met him. And so, you know, here I am in my adult life trying to sort through that. And to your point, Ebro, it's not like when responsibilities get real and you become, whether you're responsible for other people in your life, you can't really just rap for rapping's sake. You actually have to cut out time just to rap, to have fun with it. And so, yeah, man, just like in my life right now, it's more just been like embracing responsibility and trying to do things that feed my soul rather than, you know, just try to entertain people.
Like Ash, that. Do you ever think about telling your story in a real way? Like, you're literally young enough to still play a younger version of yourself. And when you really think about it, your story, the way that you emerged, sort of this immediate pop star sensation that you were, while simultaneously being managed by Scooter Braun, who goes on to be one of the biggest music executives in the world, is discovering Justin Bieber simultaneously, and you're watching Justin grow up and then pass you and become this megastar, and then finding yourself through all the stuff you've been doing. You ever think about telling that story? Because pretty fascinating.
For sure. I mean, and people have talked to me about it too, whether it's just like a book or whatever it may be. But yeah, I mean, that's one of those things when we talk about movies and stuff. I don't know if I'd do my whole 8 Mile, you know what I mean? Because also it's strange when it's your life, you know, also like with Asher Roth not being a rap name, it's like my government. That's been tricky too, because it's been hard for me to separate the personal and the professional. And, you know, Peter, we've talked about this several times, like just off air, of how the personal and the connection to what I do is so personal that it's almost gotten in the way of just saying, forget it. Just, you know, go out, go get the dough. Make sure you're secure. Do all that right now. Make those compromises now for later. But it's always been interesting because like those compromises, I think the ones that you can make in your professional career, and people do it all the time for career. Let me sacrifice my time right now in order to have this kind of career security in the future. But I don't know if it always pays off that way. You might find yourself deeper in a career, all your time taken. You've got no time for your family and your friends. So, man, I mean, right now it's a real, real balance and a real delicate balance because, you know, my reemergence into the scene isn't sponsored by Roman. You know what I mean? So, like, I don't have a bunch of, like, funds saying, yo, you got to pay attention to this kid. It's really a slow climb back into just, like, trying to – communicate with people who, yes, Peter, to your point, are familiar with the story, but also are interested in where we are now.
Who's Roman?
Oh, Roman is that the erectile
the sponsor I just read.
That's everywhere.
Yeah, that's funny.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024 performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset.
I will be live
June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac, man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Yeah.
Asher, do you feel like you still have the same love for music that you did from the beginning?
I would say more so.
Okay.
Because I say that because the way it was so Asleep in the Bread Aisle and Greenhouse Effect are just so honest. But even with Asleep in the Bread Aisle, it was such an interesting project because we had this massive record, I Love College, and I'm working with a relatively unknown producer at the time in Oren Yoel. So it's not like, it's unconventional completely. Like Greenhouse Effect gets on, you know, drama and canon. And then I Love College pops off the internet. So like, even with respect to what Peter's saying, it's like my story was the like kind of the first of this new batch of stories of kids using the internet and being birthed off the internet. And so like I Love College pops off MySpace essentially. And now Orin and I have to go back and make sense of that. That was never like a play. Like I Love College wasn't this like, oh, we're going to take this white dude and we're going to make a song about college and then we're going to turn it into, that was never the thing. It was just kind of this accident. And so what was even more interesting when I look at it is that we take an unknown producer at the time in Orin and build a new sound sonically, kind of this like alternative rap thing that's going on. And so when that happened, when I Love College happened, everything became kind of like financial or like, you know, kind of like markety and let's sell things to something. And now that I've kind of gotten away from that and it's so much more about the music and about the message and communication, I'm way more into that. And it's given me a little bit more something to really love rather than what was being built at the time around like celebrity and around like marketing. And so, yeah, Laura, to answer your question, I'm kind of more into it now than I was, you know, in 2009, 2010.
So what project should we be looking for right now? I'm going into the streaming service, Apple Music right now. What should we be paying attention to from Asher Roth?
So Flowers on the Weekend is my latest homegrown LP and like a full length album with even joints and even, you know, friendly, accessible joints. There's a joint with Lil Yachty on there, way more fun. That's kind of about that. That's just kind of about like doing it because you want to be doing it, not because you feel like you want to be a, you know, a star or whatever. And, you know, Things Change. The first joint on there was one of my favorite opening tracks in a rap album, unbiasedly, in a really long time. And so for me, you know, all of us here have, you know, love and appreciation, deep love for hip hop as a art form, you know, and you know, knowledge of self, I think, is something that kind of has been lost in the shuffle with this birth of internet, fast, immediate stardom and fast money in the same respects. And so Things Change is, I think, a good meditation on that. But I would say Flowers on the Weekend, a really cool project in 2020 that, again, we didn't have sponsored by Roman. So it was only able to go so far with a core audience. And then this year we put out Greenhouse Effect Volume 3 without Drama and Canon actually. And we made it with my fans. And so I put out a tweet on January 16th and was just saying, yo, let's make this project together. Obviously given with the pandemic and like, you know, how we're in, there's just so much talent out there. There's a lot of talented kids who were like, yo, let's do this. And so we kind of created a story, if you will, about a professor of horticulture at the University of College, and his students ask him to help them grow pot, and he does. And some of the students decide they're not patient enough to grow their own weed, so they break into the greenhouse and they steal the pot. But it turns out the pot is laced with magic. It's called Retrohash. It's laced with magic and it opens up the world of abundance. And that's like kind of a whole story about patience and togetherness and stuff. But, you know, that's something that I would love to turn into a movie. That's for sure, Peter.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like a movie and I love the concept project. I was also, right before you said it, that was what the Greenhouse Effect. Is that what I'm, am I saying it right?
Yeah.
You got it.
The Greenhouse Effect volume three.
Mm-hmm.
Is about, I was going to say, what's interesting about your story and listening to you talk today, you know, and this kind of recentering, I guess I would call it, or this regrounding of yourself, and you brought up knowledge of self and, you know, purpose, and hearing you articulate all these things, you know, there's always been a desire in hip hop or in any music or in any industry, right? When you come out of high school, you know, in the college, you want to expedite getting a big check so you can expedite moving out the crib, so you can expedite buying a car, so you can get on with your life, right? Like, everybody wants it fast. And that's never, it's always been the same. And in hip hop, you know, people want to be on, they want to make a song, they want to be on the radio, they want to be on the charts, they want to be on tour, and they want to do it now, right? And they want to be on it right away. And for artists that get expedited, you know, because they, you know, get the right record and things happen for them, there's often this kind of realization that, yo, I need to slow down and find myself, right? And really, who am I? And, you know, and then people change in front of our eyes, right? They become adults. They become trying to figure out how to, you know, keep their career alive. And then there's people who struggle to get on. They struggle to get on. Then they finally get on, and they appreciate being on and making more money, but they have a real appreciation for the work that it took to get there, right? And they have a real understanding of whom they are and what they want by the time they get there. And it sounds, you know, while there are a lot of artists that, because of streaming, can put out a record and almost instantly get notoriety in some way, shape, or form, there's still this weeding out process, or cream rising to the top, if you will, survival that needs to take place in music or any industry, if you want to be in it and have it be the thing that pays your bills long term. And it's good that you've took some time to go find what was important to you, and now you're, you know, reemerging with a different focus. So I applaud that for sure.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, there's also like kind of a strange in our business is like ageism, right? And so there's another joint that I'm going to drop on October 1st called All Add Up. And it's about that. It's about like these little things that you do every day that become kind of like your life, you know? And it's tricky in our world. And I don't know if you guys feel it on the radio side and stuff, but it's like, as you get older, they're always looking for obviously somebody younger, hipper, and somebody who's going to say yes, because I think as you get older, you get in your ways. And so that's been an interesting thing for me too, as I want to be able to do this for the next 10, 15, 20 years. And sometimes you feel like, you know, you're not wanted anymore just because you're getting older, which I feel like is something in our society as well. I feel like I have more. That's
absolutely.
You know what I mean? I have more to offer, actually, from a conversation standpoint, my experiences, to younger rappers. Well,
you have more to offer to people who want to understand the game, but to corporations who want to take advantage of you, you are too knowledgeable to be taken advantage of, which is why this current reemergence is not sponsored by, should we bring them up again?
No.
Roman.
They're not paying me. So
that's not a diss.
Example. It's not a diss. I was just using that as an example
because
when you're knowledgeable, you understand that the fact that a sponsor has been shouted out twice during this conversation is free
money.
Advertising. And that's great for Rosenberg because they're paying them. They're not paying me. So y'all don't get nothing from me.
Well,
but that's a perfect example of like why, when you get older in the game, the entities, the platforms, the corporations, whomever, they're looking for younger, fresher, A, because they can get it for cheaper, but also B, the younger audience, the 18 to 24-year-olds, have more free time to consume mass amounts of content that could just be pumped at them, so they spend more time. So it's a better, it's a more fertile, fresher ground to captivate a new audience, to ingratiate yourselves to a fresher, younger demo. And that's why there's always this kind of like, who's the new hot young? You know what I mean? And that's almost, in anything entertainment-wise, it's always that, if you notice. What's the new? What's the new? It's because there is a new 18-year-old with a new credit card and a new, fresh, you know, open mind for them to dive into without it being jaded like my old 46-year-old ass who's going to be grumpy and judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of it is just targeted that way.
97 Summer Jam 2024 performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? It's your boy Offset.
I will be live
June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Meth Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Because it's easier.
Did you, as you guys grow older and stuff like that,
interviewing who here? What the fuck is going on?
Well, I was going to ask about like following careers, right? Like when we were younger, we were able to follow someone's career and that was fulfilling to us. And now it's like, I almost check out and, or a record's kind of old in a week. Like I'm just curious how you guys feel. Are there still artists that you'll, you know, follow along and want to be part of like your well-being, or is it always like, absolutely, hey, let me just check in with what's kind of fresh right now?
I can speak it for myself. I'm very much into continuing to embrace and help and follow artists that have given that have shared with me and shared with us as the consumer. I mean, look, they fall off, but I give them a chance. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm still checked into them and seeing where they're at. And then, you know, some fall off for a while and they come back for an interview. And it's, you know, we're talking about Greenhouse Effect and them dropping a project in October. So that's, you know, you're an example of that. Like, we, you know, I didn't know where you went, but as soon as I saw your name, I was like, yo, let's see what he's talking about.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah, I mean, no, and there's some that make it easier and some you want to follow along with because they give you good reason to. And there's some that you try for a while, and then eventually it's hard. You're like, all right, I can't really follow along anymore. This is not sure what you're doing. We got love for you if you ever reach out, but I'm not necessarily tuned in because either the music is good, you fall out of touch, whatever it may be.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just think
to that other example I gave, too, about being young and having more free time. Mm-hmm. If you make it too hard for me to follow, I got stuff, man. I got to pick daughter up. You know what I'm saying? I got.
You're not staying up till midnight.
I can't see. Yo, Kanye, bruh. I can't. I want to watch the stadium live streamy thing. 11 o'clock? Nah, bro. I got to get up in the morning, man.
I feel that way about live shows, too. Like starting a show at 10:30. It's like when we did that when we were younger, like going on stage at 10:30. It's like, no way. That's not happening anymore. But yeah, I think that there's kind of like a relationship here, like with, you know, myself and what you guys are doing, and there's kind of responsibility on both of our ends. And I think that the industry, even I think it's harder now than ever because everyone's very like kind of quote unquote replaceable, right? So if like you don't want to do it, we'll get somebody who will. It's almost like a running back in the NFL. You know what I mean? Like if you don't want to be a running back, we'll get somebody else and they'll be a running back or play middle linebacker or whatever.
That's right.
It may
fresh be. Legs. Fresh, you know what I mean? Legs.
And but so, yeah, and some jobs aren't as valuable as they once were, so it's not worth as much effort.
Now,
but
giving a little inside baseball, right, mm-hmm. One thing about the job that we do as morning hosts in drive time in the morning mm-hmm. is this is actually a job where the relationship between you and the audience is based on time in because you're expecting people to wake up with you. And waking up with someone is the most intimate thing that you can ask a human being to do, right? And so it is all about relationship and time in, which is why morning shows tend to stay around so long, is because somebody at 25 to 28 years old, when they start getting that first job, that first house, that first kid, 30 years old, 32, whatever it is, you know, and they start waking up and getting in traffic in the morning. Mm-hmm. And wanting a little smidgen of entertainment in the morning. And they lock in for that 10, 12, 15 minutes on their commute, 20 minutes if we're lucky. And we entertain them. That relationship could go on for 20 years, 30 years.
Yeah, that's something people definitely don't get when they're like, they don't understand why radio people last so long. And they just think when they talk ish, it's like, bring in the new blood. It's like, you don't get it. This is one of the only fields where your equity in the space is an advantage. The time in is important, you know,
because people forget we're here when it floods. We're here when fires start. We're here when people get shot. We're here when it's happy times and there's celebrations and concert tickets, birthdays, giving away money. Like the relationship is different. I'm up here talking about bad days I'm having, going through problems with my kid, my lady. You know what I mean? It's a reciprocal relationship we have with the audience. So
you
we
got
have
it.
A fortunate opportunity, and if you don't take your audience for granted, and you're respectful to them and show them love and appreciation, you could have a good run in morning drive.
I appreciate that, and I kind of feel the same way. You know, like I want to respect my audience's time. You know, and not just ask them for money every chance that I get. And I think it's very similar to the relationship you have with the morning show. It's like, not only do I not want to waste my time, don't want to waste the audience's time, because like you said, bro, like people have kids, they have lives, they have things they have to do. And so if you put on an Asher Roth record, I want there to be something there.
Let me ask you a couple gossipy for clicks questions.
Sure.
How often?
Do your job, Rosenberg. Get him.
Listen. If you can't ask, if you can't ask your good friends these questions, who am I ever going to ask?
I mean, we need both. We need both, right? We need balance. Balance.
Yin and the yang, baby. How often do you talk to Scooter Braun these days?
I don't talk to Scooter that much. He's again somebody who's got their own life, right? So we'll check in. I checked in on him when he was going through everything, and so I checked in on him, and but it's pretty much just cordial. Again, it's not a reciprocal relationships. You know, for what it's worth, we try to stay cool, but there's not much as far as
a real back and forth.
Yeah, exactly. Probably what about, similar with you.
What about Bieber?
That's my dude. I mean, so Justin and I will play chess and stuff like that. They also were in town for Made in America. I didn't go out and check out the set and everything like that, but they'll check in. And Justin, when I put out flowers on the weekend, he gave me a shout. Obviously, busy boy, has his own stuff going on, but him and I think there's always going to be a relationship there just because of what we've got kind of gone through together. And that's why I have a lot of love for Justin, because I know his situation, the players in his game. And, I actually think he's handled it pretty dang well.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting trait that Justin has. He seems to have, we know he's had his ups and downs publicly, and he's been in better spaces, worse spaces. Seems like he's in a good one now. But one thing about him that always comes through to me is he definitely seems to remember people in his life who have been there. And so I love hearing that you guys continue to have that rapport. Because I do find that the relationship and the emergence... It's interesting when any two artists emerge together, but you emerged with this dude who literally went on to be, I don't know, Ebro, what would you say, the biggest male pop star we've seen in 20 years, something like that?
Biebs?
Yeah, 20, 30?
He's up there. I mean, he's up. Got, Drake it's a different, wants to it's have a unique conversation. Thing. Drake wants to have a convo.
True. I don't consider rappers, I consider pops, like Justin makes pop music. You're right, Drake is as big a star, basically, just not pop music per se.
Both Canadian.
And both Canadian. They have
been running ish.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024 performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? It's your boy Offset.
I will be live
June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Meth Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T. Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
But what I'll say is I'm actually happy that my relationship is more with like the artist side of things. And I think it should be, it's always funny, like the managerial and agent side of things. Like, I haven't had a manager since 2011, since, Scooter and I decided, hey, we're not playing the same game. And I haven't had an agent or anything like that. So it's been, kind of learning a lot. And so a lot of the time, agents and managers are doing the work that artists don't want to do, but and they end up getting the relationships. Like, for instance, Ebro or Laura or Peter, if you and I get into a verbal altercation just because we're experiencing each other, right, and we get into a little bit of a fight, if we can piece that out, at the end of the day, you kind of know who I am, and now I know who you are, and that actually strangely would make us closer. And I think what's interesting is that managers get to do that, right? Managers get to kind of like represent the artist, and they go through all of this kind of tit for tat feedback, pushback with other people that are doing transactional things. And that person might rub people the wrong way, but because they know who that person is now, they go, oh, I know how so-and-so operates. Yeah, we'll make it happen. And so it's strange because the manager or the agent, they end up with all the power because they're the ones dealing with the relationships while the artist is kind of just protecting themselves. And so I've always thought that was interesting and it's a tale as old as time in entertainment business, not just music, whereas the artist is kind of just somebody that needs to, traditionally be protected, which I think we need to get out of. And I think we are getting out of where artists are, getting away from the, oh, I need to just take my art, you do all this, because what we're realizing is in those confrontations and in those relationship, that feedback is where the real power lies, is in relationships. And it kind of lends itself to what you're talking about with your morning audience too. Like, you're honest with them, you have these relationships with them, you're there when people die, you're there when good things happen. And because of all of those things that you're going through, you end up having a stronger relationship. And so when I kind of felt like that was important to me, I'm happy that my relationships are more so with the artists and being able to call them directly instead of having to call their manager, you know?
You know, there's if you are able to go through the process, the maturing process, which it sounds like you have, to be able to maintain those business relationships as well as maintain your creative mind. You know, some people can't balance both. They can't live a life and create. And let me not say most people. Some artists cannot create and live life, just a regular life, outside of the entertainment industry and then come back in, create and then come back in to do business. So they have somebody that stays in so that when it's time for them to come back in, they have a good entry point. Some mature enough to be able to do exactly what you're saying, which is maintain their business relationships and live a life and create. And so that's why the manager or the agent helps out, is just because, you know, that business side of things can really zap, you know, and suck the love and the purity out of creating art. You know what I mean? Absolutely. Whether you're a painter, a chef, in fashion, all of that shit. Like, the business side of shit is just fucking lame.
It's the worst.
You know what I'm saying? And it fucks up the creative side.
It does.
Yeah. Last thing I got to ask you, Asher, of all the people in the world who I expected to have a song called Charlemagne on their album.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So scrolled through, looking for the song named after me.
Oh my God.
What? Why can't he have a song called, wait, what's happening here?
You know, I'm actually talking about Charlemagne the Great, the person who defended the Roman Empire, not necessarily Charlemagne the God.
Not necessarily or definitively not?
Why does it even matter?
I'm a big fan of open for interpretation.
Oh, you know, gosh. I mean?
Remember your lemon facing, you know?
Yeah, you know what I'm like. You know me with the lemon face.
Yo, man, oh. Rosenberg, you're a piece of shit.
Because I don't want my friends to name songs after my media
really
nemesis.
Friends. He's a rapper. He's a rapper, and he's trolling people. And the way to get attention is to not name it after Rosenberg. It's to name there it you after, go. You know, Charlemagne.
He's hot in these streets.
He got his new show on Comedy Central.
All right.
Scorching out here.
Damn, you didn't want to give Roman a plug. Okay, Breeze. Yo, Ash, thank you, bro. Greenhouse Effect Volume 3. It's out right now. Love you, man.
Appreciate you guys, man.
Ash, later, bro.
Later.
Peace, man.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? It's your boy Offset.
I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac, man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David O.
T. Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.